Right. Well, good morning, everybody, and you're very welcome. Now, there's just a couple of notices. Next Sunday is Mothering Sunday, and there will be posies being constructed on the Saturday to give out at the service. Now, Penny and Anne and Barbara are all involved in that, but they would like a bit of help. So on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock in the primary room, they'll be making up these posies. So they would appreciate if you have any flowers or if you have any greenery. Don't prune until Friday. Then come along, either dump it with them or stay and help if you would like to make these posies, please. And still on that sort of gardeny theme, the Easter garden, as you're going out of the Waitrose car park on the left, on that little raised bit, we're going to be working on that on Tuesday to get it ready to set up again, to have an Easter garden there for Easter. So if you would like to help, you would be very welcome. Tuesday, 10 o'clock at that little spot. Perhaps coffee afterwards in Waitrose. I think that's all. Welcome to anybody over there. Francis, that's over to you now. Thank you very much.
Good morning, dear friends. It's lovely to see you again. I'm always excited to see you in church and to worship together. My name has not changed. It's still Francis. Isaiah 55, there is a portion, the whole passage of Isaiah 55. I just picked one strand because I found the beginning verse is kind of complicated. When it says, anyone who thus come to the waters without no money, and anyone who is angry come and eat food, wine, and milk without money. Do you think there's anything free today? So I kind of found a scripture quite complicated. So I picked for our call to worship verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Seek the Lord. It's also a difficult word to seek. It involves a lot of things. The humanitarian organizations across the world at the moment, meeting what I'm calling cross path between Russia and Ukraine, trying to intervene for a permanent ceasefire. So they are seeking peace. And see, it is not just standing in television and saying, come have peace. I'm sure there's a lot of background work. Try to talk to both parties to seek peace. At the same time, it's not just an easy thing when the scripture is saying, seek the Lord. I think it's a word calling for motion, moving out from one point to another. So it might involve so many things to seek the Lord. How many like seeking the Lord? And how many like the Lord coming looking for them instead of them looking for the Lord? My children call me intra-extrovert. because I'm a kind of person who can't survive without the people. So whether I'm walking in the field, hi, jumbo, you know, abari, you see, those kind of things, I'm always maybe stopping by and greeting people. And sometimes someone will just, hi. He will look at me and pass. Another one, just walk. Another one will smile. Hi, how are you? And that one makes me feel good. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And I'm sure the scripture is a volume of things. I don't want to be philosophical. There are times that God decides to be far from you, far from us, far from a nation, far from a people, far from a family. Seek him while he is near. And I think that's contextual today, this morning. We have come today, pushed our blanket so that we can be here together and see the wonderful smiles in this sanctuary, and they bring healing, they bring friendship. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today, this morning, to meet together with your children and friends across the community of Northampton and as Kingsthorpe, to meet together in putting our resources together to seek the Lord in our fellowship, in our prayers, in our singing, in our preaching, in our eating, in our sharing of the Lord's table. Father, we pray that we will be able to find you so that we can be witnesses of your transforming power. We bring these prayers this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And the church at Kingsthorpe said, amen. Welcome those who are following the service online. And now we invite everyone to the song, "And It Can It Be." Thank you.
Satan. Let's have some moments of confession, prayers of adoration and thanksgiving. And I'd like you to do this prayer in your own way. Heavenly Father, we adore you with all that you have, with all that we know. We call you the Alpha, the Omega, God Almighty, the Everlasting Father. You are unchanging God, God of our generation, God of power and might. Ever unchanging in all scenes of life. We adore what you do to bring us back close to you. Quite often, Lord, we have strayed away from your teachings, from your laws. We have treated each other differently. We are filled sometimes with violence, taking power and suppressing the powerless and silencing the voiceless. We have perpetuated injustices among our brothers and sisters, maybe because of their color, their skin, their sexuality, their age, their gender, their social status. We bring confession for those who take power unjustly, taking things that they don't belong to themselves, invading nations and countries, and wanting to take land that doesn't belong to themselves. We confess on behalf of greed leaders, and leaders who have no interest for human rights, and they violate human rights with impunity. Those who perpetuate corruptions around the world. We bring confession, Lord, for those who make the world uninhabitable, those who make the earth unwelcoming, those who have punished nature and Mother Nature, that's those who have made climate to behave the way we behave, prolonged winter and at times prolonged rain seasons. Pray for those who, God, have poisoned their atmosphere. Find ourselves breathing toxic air that we shouldn't. Finding ourselves contracting illness that we shouldn't. Bring confession for those who promote injustice over nature and those who want to benefit from the climate change. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we thank you for the gifts that you have bestowed in us. Gifts of kindness, gift of welcome, gift of thinking about our neighbors who are coming from other countries and are extending a hand of welcome. We thank you, Lord, for families who have responded to the sponsorship scheme to welcome many of the Ukrainian families. We thank you, Lord, as a church for giving us a gift to think together as one family, the Baptist and the Methodist, and the role and the place that you position us in this area to spread the mission of Christ. We thank you for that gift of friendship, and we cherish this, O Lord. We thank you, Lord, for giving us an opportunity to meet together to express that fellowship in a warmly way. We bring these prayers to you. Lord, in your mercy. I welcome our Bible reader this morning, who will read Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 35. And we will do a brief reflection. Thank you.
Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 28, the Transfiguration. Jesus has been speaking about his death and suffering to the disciples, and this followed straight after. About a week after he said these things, Jesus took Peter, John, and James with him and went up a hill to pray. While he was praying, his face changed, his appearance changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, two men were there talking with him. They were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in heavenly glory and talked with Jesus about the way in which he would soon fulfill God's purpose by dying in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were sound asleep, but they woke up and saw Jesus' glory and the two men who were standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, how good it is that we are here. We will make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not really know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them with its shadow. And the disciples were afraid as the cloud came over them. A voice said from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice stopped, there was Jesus all alone. The disciples kept quiet about all this and told no one at that time anything they had seen. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Bella, for reading the word. There is something special about being a human being. A sense of people knowing you are there. I think that's what we learn from sociology, that people feel a sense of belonging when others know really they're there. So therefore, allow me, I know this is not a British way. Let me do it an African way. We are glad to have Paul Greenway, who is the moderator and will be sharing the general meeting today here at Kingston Baptist. Green, some people don't know who you are. Are you there? Very good. That's an African way of doing things. And we have a friend who has been coming here from University of Northampton, where actually I put some of my hours as a part-time chaplain at the Multi-Faith Center. Joel, with his four of his friends. So I want to ask Joel just to start now. Let's do it now. More African. Come forward. A more African way. And we want to celebrate you. You come here, the church will celebrate you until you reach here. Let's celebrate these students. Now that's an African way. So I'd like Joel to introduce his friends. Paul, yeah.
This is Lula. She's from Nigeria. She's my postmate. She's doing MSc in
Science. What is MMC?
Master's in Science.
Wow.
And this is also mentioning your name to them.
MSc.
She's AC Palestina teacher. She's also from Ghana. It's unfortunate I was to come with my Indian classmate, but it's unfortunate he couldn't, the other witness, he couldn't make it, but he promised us to come with me. So we appreciate your love last week. I told them that we will come with very well. They should come and tell us to keep with me. So I'm much grateful for welcoming us, and we want to be one family to worship.
So if you are one minute, if you were to greet the congregation in Ghanaian vernacular, what can you say?
Oh, in Ghana, Baptist, my father is a reverend minister in Ghana.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
we say
shalom. Shalom.
Yeah.
Then we respond.
Yeah, we are shalom.
Uh-huh. So let's start.
Shalom.
Yeah, yeah, shalom. Very good. Now, the lastly, give us a 5-second song in Ghanaian. Wow. Thank you. So next time, tell your friend you have a song for them next Sunday. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You are very special, really. You have made our service look so special with an international outlook. So please bring the Indian friends that you're saying you have. And they'll be prepared with coffee and cakes, Catherine, isn't it? Yeah. As we reflect in today's reading in Luke chapter 9, I like reading it again to refresh ourselves. And their presentation is part of the sermon, so my sermon will be shorter. Now, about the 8th day after this saying, Jesus took Peter and John and James and went up into the mountain to pray. There is something special about mountain in the Jewish tradition, in the Jewish culture. Mountain occupied a very important feature, not only in their geography or natural resource, but as a place they liked to be. And I'm very sure those who are mountain climbers here, I know some of those who came to Kenya and climbed one of the highest mountain peak. And they say they have discovered the highest peak in Mount Kenya. And they went forward, they say they have discovered the highest peak in Mount Tanganyika, Mount Kilimanjaro, sorry, in Tanzania. So there's something special about mountains. And if you are seated here, let me see mountain climbers in the house. Raise up your hand. How many are mountain climbers in the house? Wow. Yeah, there's one there behind there. Very good. Very good. All right. It is good because they help, they improve your stamina and your health. So Jesus, we are told, he took his closest friend to the mountain. And while he was in the mountain praying, because he did not just go to the mountain for fun, but he went to the mountain for something. And I'm very sure those who climb a mountain, they have a focus, they have an objective to they want to achieve. I have a friend, student at the University of Northampton. He told me he is set before April is over to be able to walk from Northampton up to toward Peterborough. And he told me locations that he want to make stopovers as a covenant for him during the Lent season. And I'm very sure there are other Christians around the world who are marking Lent in a special way. There are people who are observing Lent, praying and fasting and setting aside some gifts that maybe at the end of the Lent then can touch a people's life. So we are told Jesus went to the mountain with his disciples for one purpose, to pray. So to me, if I was to look at it from an angle of theological spirituality, it's Jesus retreated for a place for him to reflect, to think about life and his ministry and the challenges that were ahead. It is important always as a Christian to have a space for you to be away to reflect about life. I think I said that in the previous service. And as Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face was altered. In another word, the appearance was changed or transfiguration. And I picked this theme
of transfiguration, which has been an ongoing theme during this Lent season, with an objective of wanting to learn the importance of transfiguration in the life of Jesus Christ. His appearance changed. When I look myself this morning in the mirror, I found out I have now two wrinkles. They were one, now they are two. So then I said, oh, there is a change. So I'm changing and I'm growing younger anymore. Then I remember two Sundays ago, I was preaching in one church, and this elderly person was coming to church, and I was trying to help the gentleman to come to church. He said, Reverend, pray, you never grow old. I said, wow, I think this is telling me something, that life always goes through a change. And sometimes we have to be prepared. We don't have to be afraid of change. Jesus' appearance changed. He was altered. I'm not going to talk about the clothes and the changing of his clothes and how the clothes turned into white. I'll ignore that for today. And behold, two men were walking with him. These men, one was Moses and the other was Elijah. I'm calling these two men as the two witnesses, as called by Bible theologian. They are witnesses of the acts and the works of Christ. And therefore, they were appeared in the mountain specifically for a specific objective. They appeared there, and when they appeared, a glory came, and it came upon them. Now, Peter, who were quite asleep, heavily asleep, just like some of us who like sleeping, really. And I'm sure some houses still have, there are some people inside the blanket. They have not really come out yet. All right. We have children who like cry, isn't it? Yeah, I have a daughter who likes blanket. Anyway, I'm not gossiping. Please don't tell her. We have people who like sleeping. Sleeping is good. They were heavily asleep. And when they became fully aware, they saw the glory and the two men stood with Jesus. And the two men were partying and talking with Christ. Then Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. I like that part. And I think I've talked about that part many times because I've dramatized that part. There are people, we are people across the world who come to church for something. All right? There are those who come to see a preacher praying and laying his hand on the people. Wow, and they fall down. All right? There are people who are attracted by what they are calling theological slaying of the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit. Is anyone here? I want to practice it. Anyone who has come here today, you want someone falling down? Maybe I can practice with you. Can I practice with you? No. So in Sipo, there are people who come to church with different objectives. They come to see something happening. And I'm very sure there is an aspect of evangelism. When something like that happens, there are people who are drawn to God closer. And there are people who are drawn closer to the music that we were played. And can it be that music touches them, ministers to them? The disciples said, Master, allow us to make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. When I read that, it just reminded me of a function we went on Friday to the Sheffield of a Kenyan-born British Methodist minister who was awarded a World Peace Award for creating a city of sanctuary around across the UK. In fact, maybe have you ever heard of the city of sanctuary? He is involved in working with other non-government organizations, government agencies, to help many of the refugees who come into this country so that they can find a place where they can call a home as they navigate about life. So the tent, they talks about something. It speaks about something. What does it speak to you? To me, I think it's
It's a sense of hospitality, a sense of welcome. Can we create a tent? Meaning, can we create a space among ourselves? And as a church, what is the context of this message? And I've given you an example already. God has brought us an example already of a university student from the University of Northampton. Sorry, I always get, because UON in Kenya means University of Nairobi. the same initials, University of Northampton. God has given us that opportunity, not only University of Northampton. Maybe we have other students across this town who could want to be part of a congregation like this one. And Peter and his friends are saying, can we create a tent? And Catherine, I think that's what came in my mind when I saw these three young people here. Can we create a place for them, a space for them, so that they can feel this is a church where they belong, so that they don't feel homesick of Ghana and the worship in Ghana. They can come and worship God just as they worship home, and we can support them and we can jump with them. Are you dancing? Do you like dancing? If your music is a kind of dancing music, then we can have found ourselves also jiggling around with them. And you never miss home, because you are among brothers. A couple of things quickly that I want to conclude. One is, I've talked about the mountain. And I've talked about transfiguration. When was the last time you felt transfigured? Could it be fun? Very good. To wake up in the morning, and as you wake up in the morning in your bed, then all of a sudden you meet somebody standing near your bed, an angel, saying, good morning, Francis. Can I make you a cup of tea? Now say, yes, please. Not coffee, but Kenyan tea. Do you have one? Could it be lovely that you wake up, you find an angel like that speaking to you and said, you don't have to bother looking for God. You have found God already. Could it be wonderful when life is so rough and so boring to always find yourselves in God's house and find yourself discovering God's presence in your life? We may never see a physical presence of God with us, but we perhaps feel that we are in the presence of God because we are people who have been transfigured by God's presence among us. And when we come to a sanctuary, we feel there's easiness of peace, love, and acceptance. And that's the objective of God, sending his son to come to the world to die so that he can give his life for us. And very incredible thing. So God is calling us to this mountain. Kings of Baptist Mountain, together with the Methodist Mountain, to come, be blessed, be transfigured, and be a witness for God in this community. Let us pray. Lord, we bring our prayers today, not only for those who are in need, but also those who desperately are needed across the world, those in hospitals, care homes. We bring our prayers for the elderly and the aging population. Bring prayers for families and children, those who provide care for our children. We remember teachers, involved in very noble purpose for caring for our children. We thank you for church providing a sanctuary for many people across the world. We thank you for the government and all what it does and its agencies in ensuring there's change that addresses the welfare of the people. This morning, we are not only praying for the Ukrainian, we are praying for Russia. We have mothers, we have fathers who have children who are soldiers in the Russian front line. Those who have fallen, those who have died in the war, those mothers are wounded and they are in pain and they are crying for their children, sons and daughters from the Russian side. I pray that that can send a message to the Russian government to pause and think of these atrocities and seek peace with their Ukrainian counterpart. We pray for the Ukrainian side. They have also equally suffered big casualties. We bring prayer for those who are wounded, those who are mourning with different wounds, the medical care, trying to bring healing, treatment, provide medical care. We thank you for families who cannot even bury their loved one because of fear of war. We thank you and pray for men and women from the international community serving in an governmental organization, either through the Red Cross, volunteers who are also involved, and some of them have suffered casualties. And to those also bring us news around the world, pray for the journalists who rescue their lives to bring this news. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for policymakers around the world, those who influence change, that there will be a permanent change between the warring countries. Speak to nations that are actually sending weapons to both sides. Weapons handing to Ukraine, weapons handing to Russia, very dangerous weapons, who end up killing a child of a parent. We pray that superpowers and those who have resources can think of something other than weapons, fightings, peaceful negotiations on the table. Therefore, we pray for negotiations that are taking place between Russian President Putin and Ukrainian President Zelensky. The Lord, they will bear fruit. We think of the population of Christians both in Russia and Ukraine. I think of the Methodist families in Russia and Ukraine, the Anglican Christian families, the Presbyterian Christian family, the Baptist Christian families, the Reformed Church Christian families, the Pentecostal Christian family, the Muslim Christian families in those two countries. We pray for them, Lord. Bring peace that is permanent. And we speak peace to Russia and peace to Ukraine. Lord, in your mercy. Let's share the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will. And now we sing, Brother and Sister, Let Me Serve You, as we prepare for the Holy Communion. And I'll be using portions of the Bible from Luke chapter 22, verses 28. Please be seated. Luke 22:15, and Jesus said unto them, I have desire to eat of this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not eat any more therefore until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And as he took on the bread, he gave thanks and said, take it. This is the bread to be divided among yourselves. Take it with thanksgiving. For I say unto you, I'll not drink of the fruit of vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant, sinned for you. Lord, we come to your table, not trusting in our nature, but trusting in you, O Lord. Forgive us and allow us to participate in this foretaste prepared for the heavenly people, your people. Amen. Welcome, and by faith, take on the bread and the cup given for you to share. These until the coming of Christ. Amen. So we'll have the deacons from both sides who will be coming to you, and they will distribute the bread as well as the wine, and we wait for each other and take together. Thank you.
And share when we come back.
Sorry, Catherine. We partake together. Let's take a moment just to thank God for that communion. Thank you, Lord, for feeding us with this sacrament and giving us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet prepared for all mankind. Amen. Our last hymn is In Heavenly Love Abiding. And as we do that, we'll share the Lord's prayer for the offertory. Father, we brought gifts so to support your work in this church in terms of offertory. Therefore, we pray as we receive them and sanctify them for your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We sing our last hymn.
has clouds of me. My hope, my God of vision, my path to life is free. My Savior as my treasure, and He will come with me.
Thank you all. God bless you, and thank you for our organists. Thank you for our students. Thank you for Greenway. And God bless all of you. Let's share the grace together. May now the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now. And thank you for our technicians, Phil, listen.